Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome back to Burden and Blessing and our World Religions study. Today we're going to take a look at one that might be considered an American religion, one that was started here in the United States of America. This is also considered a cult by many. We'll talk a little bit about whether that's true or not. Today we're going to be taking a look at the history of Mormonism and the teachings of the Mormon Church, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To take us through this study today is Pastor Mark Tiefel. How are you, Mark?
Good. Ready to go.
So you've actually been to Salt Lake City. You've seen some of the things in connection with the actual Mormon temple there. Why don't you get us started by talking about the history? How did the Mormon Church actually get its start?
Well, the Mormon Church, they view themselves as the actual Church of God, the continuation of the apostles from the New Testament into America, like you said. Now, they claim that, but they actually got their start by a man named Joseph Smith, and they're in the grand scheme of world religions, they're actually a pretty young religion, because Joseph Smith started the religion in the 1800s. But Smith was a man who wrestled with sort of the spiritual climate of his time. In America in the 1800s, there was a sort of a melting pot of Christian denominations. There weren't a lot of world religions per se on the scene at that time, but it was mainly Christianity. But then Smith wrestled with, well, what church do I join? What denomination do I join? And he never really found an answer to that. And that's where he eventually started the Mormon Church. They would have their official story of how they trace their history back. They would obviously trace it back to the Bible, but in actual truth and reality, the 1800s is the starting point of the Mormon history.
So there's a little bit of controversy regarding the beginning of Mormonism. You talked a little bit about the fact that he wrestled with what Christian religion or church to go to, and he really couldn't figure that out. So what happened next?
Well, the two of us just recently recorded a podcast on Islam, and there's some parallels between Islam and Mormonism. One of them is that the Mormon religion would trace its history back to the Bible. They use the Bible. They consider the Bible to be a divine book. They also have their own book in addition to that, like the Islam religion does. But another similarity is that when their founder, In the case of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, when he tried to start his religion, he was thoroughly rejected right away. He was actually imprisoned for it, did not get off to a very good start, kind of like Muhammad. When he started his religion, he was cast from the city of Mecca and didn't really take a foothold until he conquered the city with an army. But so the history of Mormonism is kind of rocky because Joseph Smith is a very controversial figure. He was not very welcome in the area where he tried to start it, first in Illinois, then he gradually shifted west towards Missouri, and then they finally settled not under his watch but under the watch of Brigham Young in Utah, as people know it today. But again, like Islam, Joseph Smith supposedly received a special vision from God, from an angel, the angel Moroni, where God gave him this new revelation, and that's where the Book of Mormon originated from, and that's where the main principles of the religion really developed from that point on. But it's controversial again, because you basically have to take his word for it. No one was there to witness it. No one was around to verify the actual revelation. And so even within the Mormon Church today, Joseph Smith is kind of a controversial figure, even in their own body. There are different branches and different movements, and they have different views about him. I would say it was mainly Brigham Young later on that really solidified the main branch of Mormonism that we know today.
So this angel comes down and he gives Joseph Smith these golden plates that have some sort of a foreign language on them. Joseph says he's the only one who's able to translate that. He translates that. That becomes what we now know as the Book of Mormon. And as you pointed out, nobody actually saw that, although there were three men who at some point stepped forward and said, yes, we saw the golden plates too. Part of the controversy is that those three men ended up leaving the Mormon religion. Mm-hmm. And then later on, there were another eight men who said, yes, we saw the golden plates too. So there's a whole lot of controversy regarding the whole Book of Mormon, where it came from, was it legitimate? There's another plate that he had that was supposed to be an ancient Egyptian, and he translated it, and now we've taken a look at those Egyptian plates, and what he translated it as in the 1800s is absolutely nothing like what it is translated now that we have the ability to communicate or to study that language. So a lot of controversy behind the Book of Mormon even still today. Can you just summarize what the Book of Mormon is all about for somebody who's not at all familiar with Mormonism? That is the holy book of Mormonism, more holy than even the Bible, as you pointed out. But what story does it tell? What does it talk about?
Well, like you mentioned at the beginning, Mormonism is an American religion, and the Book of Mormon is supposed to be a historical account of the ancient people who lived in North America region long before historical records could verify or cross-examine. And so Joseph Smith's claim in the Book of Mormon is that these peoples in North America, what he would probably consider the American Indians, were the lost 12 tribes of Israel that migrated from the Middle East to America. And therefore, that's where the claim of the Mormon Church, that they are the one enduring church from all the way back in the time of the Old Testament, that's where that comes from, that we have discovered who the real people of God were, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. And anybody who doesn't fit into our movement would be an imposter then in that sense. So it's sort of meant to be a historical book, but it's a historical book that makes claims that cannot be verified and it cannot be proven. And if you actually, you know, look at it realistically, claims that have been proven false.
Right.
That's part of the problem. And what you see here, we've already mentioned a number of things that don't add up in Joseph Smith's life, in the revelation of the tablets, in his followers that said they were there but then denied the faith later on, in now looking at the content of the Book of Mormon. What it really boils down to is that it's a religion of blind faith. And we want, you know, we hear Jehovah's Witnesses are somewhat parallel in this regard, where you get a number of end of the world prophecy predictions and they don't come true. Now, the normal person looks at that and says, how can you keep following that religion if they have been proven to be false? But people find a way. When they want to blindly follow, they'll find a way. And you see the same thing in the history of Mormonism. There's many contradictions, many things that don't add up, but people find a way to continue to follow it if they want to.
Well, to some degree, you always have to be just a little bit leery of modern religions anyway, don't you? I mean, if it's a modern religion, where was it for the rest of the history of the world? And the fact that this just boom comes out of nowhere in the 1800s, even though he says it's a continuation of the ancient church, unlike the Old and the New Testament that fit together like a glove and proclaim the same message, you don't have that consistency. There's contradictions between the Book of Mormon and the Old and New Testament. Joseph Smith, you mentioned earlier Brigham Young. Joseph Smith dies in 1844. He was in jail, and some of his followers were trying to break him out. Talk about following good Christian morals, right? Mm-hmm. Breaking the guy out of jail, and he dies in the struggle there. Brigham Young then takes over, leads the group out to Salt Lake City. It was at that time, just like we saw talked about within Islam, that there were really a number of different groups then that broke out of Mormonism. And the Brigham Young group became the largest and the one that we call the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints still today. Can you kind of take us through that history with him and some of what really became Mormonism? Because as you pointed out, Joseph Brigham Young was really the guy who organized the Mormon religion, right? And brought a lot of those tenets to what we have or what we know about Mormonism today. Tell us a little bit about him and his work.
Yeah, so Brigham Young, you know, and at the time of Joseph Smith, the two of them disagreed on the direction that the church should take. But because of Joseph Smith's death, Brigham Young became the leader kind of by default, and he led them out again as a new group, as a new religion. They were you know, kind of called out on it by you know, Christians back in the East, and so they kept moving west to try to find a place where they could settle, and eventually it was Utah, and they founded the city of Salt Lake City there. And so most of what we recognize about Mormonism today comes from the largest branch, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's probably the one we come into contact with most. And, you know, they've had a somewhat tumultuous history themselves of accepting certain doctrines, denying other doctrines. It kind of goes back and forth. But some of the hallmarks of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would be the practice of polygamy. People are probably pretty familiar with that. There's the idea that, well, mankind can reach perfection here on earth and even become gods themselves after death. You know, some of these ideas come from the Book of Mormon. Some of them come from other writings. One of the other big ones is the Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrines and Covenants, again, written by Joseph Smith. The other idea that they have strange ideas about baptism. They talk about a baptism of the dead. And so our listeners might be familiar with the predominance of genealogical records within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They make a really big deal out of that. They've got a huge genealogical library in Salt Lake City where, you know, they open it up to anybody. You can come in there and you can look up, you know, your ancestors and see if they have any information on that. But the reason they've done that and the reason it's so important is because they believe in the baptism of the dead, that people here in time can, you know, answer or speak up for their ancestors' spiritual state, if you will, or where they're going to spend eternity. You mentioned right away at the beginning the word cult. We should probably define what that word means. A cult is a movement that claims to be Christian but is not. They, you know, the Mormons obviously are very insistent that they want to attach themselves to Christianity. They call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for a reason. They want people to believe that they're Christian, but in their actual teachings, they deny the true God. They deny the Trinity. They deny that the deity of Jesus Christ. Their method of salvation, again, comes down to work righteousness, of how well you can follow the doctrine of the Mormon Church, not about what Jesus Christ has done for you. So there are several different teachings that might seem strange because of the Book of Mormon and other writings, but if there's the most important thing to recognize with the contrast there is that they are not a Christian church. Because they have teachings that deny who the true God is. You cannot be Christian if you deny who Christ is and what he did.
So let's talk about that for just a minute then. And I'm glad that you came back to that. If the Mormon religion wants to be, and a lot of people will look at the Mormon religion, they'll say, oh yeah, it's a Christian religion. It talks about, you know, the Mormon missionaries, they come to your door, they talk about Jesus. It's in their title. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. What are some of those Christian teachings or doctrines that Mormonism rejects that would be essential for something to be a Christian church? What are some of those?
Well, the deity of Christ would be one of them. You know, literal Mormon teaching talks about how Jesus is just one of many gods, even that he was the spirit brother of Satan. And they even teach that God the Father has a body with flesh and bone. And so, obviously, from the onset, kind of like Jehovah's Witnesses again, one of the main problems there is if you can't deny Jesus as God, because if you take that step of denying the deity of Jesus, you also deny his ability to be the Savior. I think of 1 Timothy 2:5 as a good example. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is a man, but he's not an ordinary man. He's the mediator. He is the connective link between God and men. Also, Jesus himself said that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The Mormon Church may claim to honor Jesus, but by denying that he's God and not giving him the full honor and glory of God, they are not honoring him. You know, true praise and worship of God, as we know, is not just in what you say, it's what you actually mean and what you do as well. And so you can call yourselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can use the Bible if you want. But if your confession and if your practice of that faith does not honor Jesus as God, equal with God the Father in power and glory and Godhead, then you're denying Christ. You're not honoring him. And that's a major problem that is kind of tough to recognize on the surface.
Is Mormonism monotheistic or polytheistic? And maybe you'll need to explain what those terms mean for our listeners.
Yeah, those who have been listening to our World Religions podcast probably know what we mean by that distinction. Monotheism is literally one God, so a religion that centers around one God. Christianity would be monotheistic. Islam, Judaism would be monotheistic. Polytheistic would be multiple gods. Hinduism, Buddhism would be examples of that, where they're upfront about having thousands of different gods. Mormonism would claim to be monotheistic, but they're actually polytheistic in substance. Especially when you start teaching that one of the benefits of being a Mormon after death is that you can become a god yourself, you know, and you even teaching to the point that you can have your own universe that you rule and that you govern. That's to the sinful flesh. That's pretty appealing, that I can be in the position of God. We know that's the age old lie of Satan, to be equal to God. And so I would consider them to be maybe a closet polytheistic religion. You know, they certainly wouldn't want to say that up front, but
by definition,
they want to look like Christians on the outside, but you've got to look at what they actually say too.
So boiling it down for us, how is one saved? How does one achieve the afterlife in Mormonism? What's the answer? How do you get to heaven in Mormonism? What do they teach?
Well, that's part of the problem at times too, because they're not even so sure themselves of what to teach. I'm read a quote here from a book that I used to research this, and the author who has studied this says, "The Mormons have a doctrinal system so peculiar and bizarre that it seems well nigh incomprehensible. A secrecy in their temple rites so close that a non-Mormon, even an ordinary Mormon, cannot penetrate it. A zeal and bigotry for spreading the Mormonism unmatched by any other denomination." So the technical answer to that is you would follow their system of beliefs. You would follow their doctrine. Essentially, you would be a good Mormon. They do not have concepts of the objective atonement of Jesus Christ for humanity. Again, they're going to say that. They're going to say stuff like that. When I went to the Mormon temple complex and walked around as a visitor, you would see stuff about the atonement of Jesus Christ. But that's nothing more than really a facade to try to connect them to the Christian religion. They're not actually teaching that in substance. And so I think the author is onto something there, where even among Mormons, it's hard to really grasp, what do I need to do to be saved? The Mormon mission is a big one. You know, every Mormon who wants to be accepted as a full member of the church needs to fulfill their missionary activity, needs to take their mission trip. That would be a big step toward it. Being married in the Mormon temple, in the Mormon church, is a big thing for them. One of the things we hadn't mentioned yet is that the Mormons believe in eternal marriage, that they believe that whoever you're united with here in earth will be forever in eternity. So that's a very important thing for them. But that's part of the problem. Is it's perhaps purposely ambiguous enough where people kind of read their own way into salvation, depending on which of the core beliefs they're trying to follow.
I remember a number of years ago when I was down in Atlanta that there was an article in the newspaper about – it was about the time that Romney was running for president. So there was a lot of emphasis on Mormonism, you know, in the popular, you know, everyday mainstream media. And one of the articles that was written was about how, you know, Mormons wanted themselves to be understood or seen as Christians. And I think you've kind of brought that out regularly, that this is, you know, this is the way that they want to be seen, and yet their teachings clearly show that it is contrary to Christianity. Mm-hmm. In so many different areas. It's a work righteous religion, if you really boil it down, even though it's hard to get through the substance and figure out exactly what they're saying. In the end, it's still a work righteous religion. It denies monotheism, the fact that there's one God. It teaches that we can all become God by our working our way up there. It denies the atonement of Christ, even though it speaks of atonement in that language, just defining it in its own way. And so in essence, what we have here is we really do have a cult, don't we? This is a group of people that it says that it is the only way to the afterlife apart from the Mormon church. You cannot get into heaven. That is the definition of a cult. And that is a very dangerous thing, because on the surface it doesn't show that. It doesn't teach that outwardly. But when you really get into it, you can see that hidden and secret nature of what is actually being promoted. So a very dangerous thing indeed.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, two things that I think could be learned from the Mormons in a positive way is, number one, they have a strong emphasis on the importance of family. And then number two, they have a strong zeal for mission work. Now, we know that they're not actually spreading the gospel, but they have to have that firm conviction of their belief and the willingness to spread it. Those are two things I think we could learn from for our faith life as well, the importance of family and also the importance of spreading that truth. And you know, getting into that last point then of how would we witness to a Mormon, you know, I come back to, you know, John 8:31-32, where Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus himself said, if you really want to be connected to Jesus, which they make the claim, it's not about putting it in the name of your church. It's not about erecting statues of Jesus at your temple complex. It's about following his word, not the Book of Mormon. And look at, for a Mormon, perhaps one thing you could point them to is look at the examples in history of Mormons who rejected the Book of Mormon. Some of the founders did that eventually. And think about that diligently. You know, and eternity is not just about a code book of moral values. It's about needing something more than what you can offer. Needing a savior from sin, and those who truly follow Jesus are the ones who cling to his word, not because they can be a better person through it, but because it's the word of life, it's the word of salvation, and that's what a true follower. And so I think witnessing then to Mormons, that's the inroad you can take. It's almost like you have a ready-made opportunity there when you come into contact with, because they want to be considered Christian, they want to be a follower of Christ, they have great zeal in that regard. But they're lost in the Mormon doctrine. So maybe a practical tip that could help in witnessing.
In connection, you mentioned a couple of the things that we can learn from the Mormons, and one of them was the missionary zeal. In your study of Mormonism, to some degree that missionary zeal is motivated by the law, right? Mm-hmm. Not by the gospel. You said they're not actually teaching the gospel. They're teaching their own brand of it. But how much do you think the actual education that takes place within the Mormon church plays a role in the missionary zeal? And the reason I'm asking that is I wonder if that is something really that we should learn, that it's the importance on education, educating our people on the truths of the Christian religion, that then serves as the springboard for missionary zeal. Do you think that that's an adequate representation of Mormonism, and that that's what we can take away from that in our own churches and family circles?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think the education aspect of it has a big role to play. You see it both in their churches and in their universities and schools, that the importance of educating their followers. I think the great contrast where we part ways in that regard is this: the substance of that education. Like you mentioned, the impetus for the Mormon mission is going to be following the laws so you can prove yourself to be a better Mormon. Yeah, there's concern for the lost, but their mission work is ultimately about them fulfilling a service to God for themselves. The Christian education, though, that leads to a desire to do mission work is that solid biblical theology of the gospel. And that's, like you said, it's a springboard. When a person is ingrained with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's their solid foundation, there's going to be a willingness, a zeal to go out and share that. Not so that I can be saved through it, but because of the joy of already being saved. And perhaps there within that aspect of missionary work, again, is another opportunity to show the contrast to a Mormon.
Very good. Well, thank you for taking us through that, Mark. It's always good to go through some of these religions, especially ones that, you know, so prevalent in the world around us. And it's our prayer that our listeners will benefit from all of these different studies. These are world religions, but certainly we see them in our own nation and in the country that we live in around us too. We pray that this will be beneficial for you in helping you to be able to witness your Christian faith to those who may differ in their views of how to access favor with God in their lives. If there are religions that you would like to see us take up, whether it be either Christian or non-Christian religions, feel free to send that to us at burdenandblessing@gmail.com. We would be glad to take a look at that and prepare something for you in the future. We pray that the Lord would continue to bless you, lead you back to His Word, where we receive the foundation for our faith, and we are prepared to bear witness to that faith as well. The Lord keep you all.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the Word.